I'm going to put my timer on as well because I get really hungry. So if we go for too long, I'm going to get hungry and we'll have to stop. So I'll put a timer on now. When you are pregnant, people are generally a lot nicer to you. They try and make your life easy, which is great. It's also why I think that I've been given these lovely two verses, and Andrew has given his own daughter the very difficult following passage, which is all about fatherly discipline. So, good luck, Anna, and thank you for giving me a lovely two straightforward verses. So, short preach, probably, because I'll get hungry, and two verses, so hopefully we can all pay attention for that amount of time. So we are continuing our series on Hebrews today. We are looking at Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. We've jumped around a little bit just because of logistics. So the previous passage, Hebrews 11, Gemma preached on 2 weeks ago. And then last week we heard from Paul speaking about Hebrews 10. Where's he gone? 10? I think it was 10, probably. So Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, and the verse is, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." Okay, that's it. That's all we need to cover today. Okay, so what are we talking about? And I am actually going to need a volunteer. So if anybody enjoys running, anybody like running? No? Did I overestimate the athletic prowess of our church? I will need a volunteer because otherwise I have to pick on my husband and he's going to be grumpy at me for the rest of the day. Anyone? Hand? Perfect. Come on. Right. Thank you, John. You, I think you went on a long walk yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I walked up and down the stairs this morning, and that was hard work, so that was fine. Okay, great. So, I will give you something to do in a minute, but this verse happily comes pre-metaphored for us. So, what are we talking about? Life is a little bit like running a marathon race. I think I asked if anybody liked running and everyone, nah. Understandable. I'm not a huge running fan. I think people that find running enjoyable are strange. It's not for me. But life is a little bit like a marathon race. And even if you really enjoy running, I imagine that there are going to be moments in a marathon where you go, this is really hard and a bit rubbish. And moments where you go, this is really cool and I'm running a marathon. Is that right? Do you enjoy it?
I've never run a full marathon, but I've run a couple of half marathons. And the bit where you come into Coventry towards the end never looks beautiful.
The bit where it finishes, where you stop running, is the good bit. Okay, and this metaphor of life being like a race and running, it comes up a few times in the Bible. Paul really likes using it. If you've read any of Paul's letters, you will see it come up a few times. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, "I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." When we are running a race, it can be made a lot harder if we're carrying a lot of additional weight. Right? So, what's the verse talking about? It talks about two things when we're running the race. Right? It talks about weight and it talks about sin. So what do we mean by these? And this is where I'm going to need you, John, for the illustration. Weight is something that burdens us while we are running the race. Okay? And the Bible talks about the idea of burdens and weight a lot. Jesus says, cast your burdens. I forgot my verse now, which is really bad. Cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit your righteousness to be moved. Right, so if you were running a race, John, some things that might weigh you down, and thank you, Williamses, for your wonderful costume selection. worries about your health or finances. Is my dodgy knee going to start hurting midway through the race? In life, that might look things like, actually, am I going to get sick? Is someone else I know going to get sick? Do I have enough money to do it? Is that going to be a problem? Focusing on, I might have given you this in the wrong order, which will make it more amusing. Focusing on the past or future and not the present. So how did the start of the race go? Not very well. What's going to come up ahead? Are there going to be snacks? Is there going to be drinks? Again, in life, you know, what did someone say to you 5 years ago that hurt your feelings and made it really hard? What are things that might come up in the future that you're aware are going to be a challenge? I think this is like a garnishing weight. So that's the irrational anxiety of, is my whole family going to die in a plane crash? There you go. And past hurts that you're carrying around with you can be some of the biggest weights and burdens. Paul's story was an awesome story about someone who was carrying a really heavy weight of past trauma and past hurt that actually was making it really difficult for him to just go through life. How do you feel about running in that?
Yeah.
Got some movement. It's a little bit, it's going to be a little bit inconvenient.
A bit inconvenient, yes.
Yeah, okay. So if you're going to run a race, a good coach ensures that their athletes are mentally and physically ready, that they've been checked over, they've got the right kit, and all the provisions that they need are in place to run that race, right? Mike talked about potholes in a road. If you're going to run a marathon and it's full of potholes, that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard work. If you know that those potholes are coming, a good coach is going to have talked to you about how you're going to navigate those and what the right footwear to wear is so that you make sure you're not going to twist your ankle or whatever it is. Not a perfect metaphor. I think God's not just a coach, right? He's a lot more than that. But he has sent Jesus to run the race alongside us. And he'll do all of these things. He'll make sure that we're ready. He'll make sure that we have the right kit. We don't need to put on the funny shepherd's costume. Okay? But also, more than weight, the verse also talks about sin. So that's the bit where everybody goes, oh, sin. I think, you know, we know what the Bible says about sin. And it is like running a marathon in a heavy costume. So let's give you some more things, John. Here you go. They can go on your hands if...
I'm already wearing boots.
Right. So. We'll do hand flippers. Perfect. Okay. So, we have heard that sin doesn't disqualify us from running the race, right? If you've given your life to God, then we are made clean through the blood of Christ. So if there is sin in your life, you're not disqualified. Okay, but you're going to make it much harder for yourself. I think it's going to be challenging for John to run as he is right now. Not just harder, but you have a reason to give up. There's a reason to say, it's too hard, I'm not doing it, I can't do it, I'm going to stop. And the Bible does warn us, it warns us in the previous passages that Paul preached on, that even though sin does not disqualify us, if we continue to sin and we just turn back and run back in the other direction, we're not going to finish the race. The Bible tells us what's sinful. There's whole books of the law. Can anybody list some of the Ten Commandments? No? No coveting. That's a good one. Coveting, sinful. What was that one? No stealing. Adultery, murder, some of the big ones. Big ticket items. The Holy Spirit prompts us also to know what is sinful as well. So the Bible doesn't cover every single very specific scenario you might have in life. Sometimes there's moments where the Holy Spirit will prompt you to say, do you know what, maybe that wasn't right. Has anybody in a marriage ever done something really nice for your spouse and then gone, I am the best spouse. I have won the marriage. And now they owe me. I said this to Ben when I was preparing my preach, and he said, I've never done that. And he sat back and looked at me really smug. But actually, it's a small thing, but those things in our heart, those are the things that build up to resentment in a marriage. Resentment against someone else, hatred, anger, guilt. And God really cares about our heart, because actually, even if we're running around dressed like this, it's quite easy to see that John maybe needs some help. But a small stone in your shoe is going to hinder you maybe more, or just as much at least, as everything else. So I have a stone for you, except I was going to give you a small stone for this illustration, but this is Ben's favourite rock, and he wanted it to be incorporated in the preach. So there you go. There's a secret sin for you, John. Good luck. Right.
I am now suitably hindered.
Yeah, perfect. Would you like to run briefly up and down this row for us? I've not cleared it with health and safety, so do it quickly before... Right. Thank you very much. Right, and if you are not sure about whether God really cares about our hearts more than all of the other big obvious things, you're starting to look like you're struggling, Sally. It is Ben's favourite. Yeah. It's Guernsey granite. Yeah, there you go. We did have to take that back from Guernsey. Was it in a suitcase or in the car? I think it was in a suitcase, because I remember it being annoying. I've got distracted now. So if you're not sure if God really cares about your heart more than the big obvious sins, you can think, well, I haven't committed adultery or murdered anyone, so do you know what, I'm doing pretty well. Look at the heroes of faith. So look at the previous passage that Gemma preached on. David, who's in the Bible, one of the examples that has gone to again and again of a king that was after God's own heart, the Davidic king. You see it referenced in all of the prophecies about Jesus as well. David slept with another man's wife and then murdered the man, bore terrible consequences for it, which was the death of the child. But he really grieved and he asked God for forgiveness. And in fact, he says, God, my sin is against you and you alone. And he is regarded as being one of the greatest examples of being after God's own heart. So God really cares about these heart things as well. A reminder, you're under grace and not law. So all of this sin, it doesn't disqualify you, but it does hinder you. It makes it difficult. You can put all your stuff back in the bag now, John. I will take the rock. Right, so why are we running? What's the point? Why do we not just go through life, especially if we know that God has dealt with our sin? Should we carry on sinning? Paul says by no means to this one, but what's the point? Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath or perishable crown, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Okay, why are we running the race? We're running the race because of the prize at the end, which is eternity with God in his presence, worshiping him, adopted as sons and daughters. And why does God care about the weight and the sin? There's three things. The first thing is that when you are carrying all of that stuff and trying to go for a run, it slows you down, makes you less effective. It's faster, it's easier, it's more effective when we don't have all of these burdens. We're just not the runner that we could be when we have all of it on. It's enough to be running a marathon in all the right kit. And Jesus tells us to give our burdens to him. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Life, when we listen to God's guidance, is actually much easier. And I know that's, you might think that's slightly contradictory, because people often tell you when you're a Christian, life gets harder. Doesn't mean that the running track is going to get any easier. In fact, there might be more potholes. There might be people chucking stuff at you. Those challenges still lie ahead. You still have to run the marathon race. But we can navigate them much better. And when you look at what the Bible says about how we should live life, actually, when we live life in that way, it does make our lives easier. Sabbath rest, anyone any good at that? I'm not necessarily. I've done it with work a few times where I've worked 7 days, and it often ends with me in a puddle of tears, going to feel really overwhelmed and tired. I don't know why. It's because actually taking a day of Sabbath rest is really good for us. As a teenager, I used to look at all the rules in the Bible and everything it said about how you live life as a Christian and think, that's so inconvenient. I can't do all the fun things that my friend's doing. I'm never going to find a boyfriend. In my mind, it made life much harder and more inconvenient, more challenging. But actually, I've then witnessed, the more I've experienced of real life, how much of a blessing those things are. In our marriage, how much of a blessing some of those things set us up for. Sin might reward momentarily, and worry and taking burdens onto yourself might create a sense of control briefly. But life is harder when we live it in a way different to the way that God designed. Running a marathon is harder when you're covered in a whole load of stuff. Okay, skipped ahead. Next reason, so that we don't give up, okay? So I'll say it again, sin, if you are a Christian and you've given your life to God, it doesn't disqualify you from running the race. But it can mean, it can make it easy to give up. It gives you a reason to turn around and go, do you know what? I'm not going to do it. And Jesus is right there, ready to take it all. Romans 6, verse 2, should we go on sinning? By no means. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? We are free from the power of sin. Now, if I had said to John, I'll take all this stuff and you run, and he kept coming back and going, actually, I'm just going to take it with me, or I'm just going to pick up some new things. It's not the way that we're supposed to be running the race. The Bible says that faith without work is dead. Works is dead, not because works get us into heaven, but someone who's shunning Jesus the whole race, you have to question whether or not they really accepted him at all. And if you're finding that you're going back to sin again and again, Paul told us, look at your heart. We know that God cares about our hearts. Are you seeking after God? If not, it's time to turn around and run the right way. If you are seeking after God and you're still carrying all of this stuff, why? Because God says that he will deal with it. So sin might not disqualify you, but you might give up. Or you might run the race suffering far more than you need to, much less effective than you could be, and actually shunning the support and the love of God and the grace that is there for you the whole way. Final reason, and this is important. The way that God has designed our lives and the race, right? When God created the world, it was perfect. We, the runners, make it hard for ourselves and for each other. Sometimes there are people who are trying to trip you up. And the enemy makes it harder too, adding those potholes and obstacles. Life as a Christian isn't easier because there's less challenges. You will face challenges in your life that actually make running the race really hard. But as we heard from Mike, God can just steamroll all of those. Or sometimes he lets us face a challenge, but he gives us what we need to do it. Before I knew that I was pregnant, one of the things that I really didn't want to experience when I was pregnant, I'm quite a worrier. I like to take lots of burdens onto myself. If I can't find anything about my own life to worry about, I start worrying about other people too. And one of the things I really didn't want to do when I was pregnant is worry the whole time about my health, or if I was doing the right thing, or eating the right thing, or if the baby was going to be okay. And it was just something that was in the back of my mind, as I probably need to deal with this before we have a baby. And actually, before I knew I was pregnant, Katie Meehan was at our house for small group. And after small group, she said, we're going to pray for this. We're going to pray for this worry. And she did. She prayed. It was really cool. And she was like, God's going to take this off of you. And then she said to me, and now you have to decide not to go back and pick it back up. I've got my whole pregnancy not really worried about the baby or the food that I'm eating or if I'm doing the right amount of exercise or whatever it is. And it's been a real blessing, actually. It's been really light and easy. And God, I didn't even know I was pregnant when Katie did that, but God was like, do you know what? I'm going to clear the way. I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm going to make it possible for you to navigate this. And that's one example. I think there's other examples I could give you. There's other examples lots of people in here could give you of where God has given them what they need to navigate some of those really big challenges. Psalm 16:11 says, you've made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We can experience joy when we're running, which is weird. Because we're doing what God put us here to do. There is such joy in knowing that you are living in obedience to God. And if you're not sure, ask. There have been times in my life where I've gone, God, can I really not, do I have to do this? And God's gone, yes, this is what I have for you. And actually, when you know that, there's a moment where you can go, I'm doing what God told me to do. And there's so much joy in knowing that. There can be so much joy if you're carrying weight and you're carrying burdens in going, here you go, God. I'm just going to run in my running kit. And that is what God invites us to do. Okay, and Oh, we're running out of time, so I'm going to get hungry soon. Okay, how do we do this? Okay, it's not something we have to do just by ourselves. So the passage mentions two different groups of people, or two people. It mentions cloud of witnesses, and it mentions Jesus. So who are the cloud of witnesses? Cloud of witnesses are the people, the heroes of faith that came in the passage before that we heard about. They are the people that have gone before us. We know their pre-race preparations. We know what they did well. We also know what they went wrong. And we can learn from that, and we can take that into our journey we can take that into our race. We heard in Gemma's preach how we're all linked to these heroes of faith by a thread of faith that runs from creation to now and on to eternity, awaiting the fulfillment of the promises of God. And as a reminder, that's the prize at the end of the race. We're also surrounded by witnesses now. There's other people that we're running with who can support us when we struggle and who can encourage us as well. And actually, our church family is really important in helping you with these burdens, because they can say, do you know what, John, I think running with flippers on your hand might not be the best idea. Would you like maybe some help to take those off? But more important than the witnesses, there's Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the cornerstone, the one who takes our burdens onto himself, who shows us how to live life better, who gives us the right kit to suit what it is that we're going to face, who coaches us when we feel like we can't continue, and prepares us for the challenging bits that lies ahead. Jesus endured the cross. He endured life with all of our burdens, suffering all the way because it wasn't possible for us to do it ourselves. I don't think it would have been possible to run a race carrying that big slab of granite. Jesus invites us to hand all of those things over to him so that he can take them instead of us. And not only that, but he did it with joy because of what laid before him. Okay, we have a race to run, and we're already running it. Many have gone before us, some will go behind us. We don't have to do it carrying the weight and the sin. You don't have to do it burdened by past hurts, even if those things are as difficult as an abusive parent. God has an amazing ability to clear the potholes, and an amazing ability to heal things that seem like things that can't be healed. You do not have to go through life carrying all of this. It makes it harder for yourself, and you risk not completing the race. Jesus will take the weight of every burden of life and sin onto himself, if you will let him, so that we can run with endurance and we can run full of joy. I'll invite the band back up. If you are carrying a weight, if you are running with sin that is clinging to you, that is making it hard for you to endure, you have an opportunity to give that over to God. And you're surrounded by people who are quite happy to help you take off the flippers. So what I'm going to do now is give you an opportunity to pray and to bring those things before God while we worship. If it's going to be helpful for you to pray with someone, and I'd encourage you, it normally is, especially with those hidden rocks that you might be carrying, actually letting somebody know that that's there can be really helpful. That we can do that now. If you want to pray with someone near you, pray with someone near you. You can come to the front if you would like prayer. But otherwise, we're going to worship our God, who takes all of the weight and sin upon himself so that we can run with endurance.